Thanks for your support.
WEFT, you're here with me, celebrating a little music. We love to do these things, we love to have that fun. We love to do these things on WEFT. Who knows, this could be the new jingle for WEFT.
Repeat that.
Who knows, this could be new jingle for WEFT.
Freestyle.
WEFT.
WEFT. WEFT. WEFT. WEFT.
WEFT.
WEFT. WEFT. WEFT.
This hour of programming is supported by the listeners of WEFT and by the Champaign Center Partnership, who foster a vibrant, inviting, and active core downtown, midtown, and campus town by strengthening businesses and building community. CCP's vision is to create healthy and vibrant micro-urban areas for residents and visitors through marketing, advocacy, and special events. CCP encourages and educates the public to shop locally throughout the year. Local businesses need your help more than ever. When you spend $100 at a locally owned business, $68 stays in your community. For more information about the Champaign Center Partnership, visit them on their website at champaigncenter.com, champaigncenter.com, or you can call them at 217-352-2400.
I got it. Okay. This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WAFT, Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial. And this is for broadcast on February the 6th, 22. I think I'm going to try to encourage you, especially people who don't use computers a lot, to go to their satellite feed, go to Google Earth or some other feed where you can follow directions. It may take you a little while to get to your computer and to get it up, but it doesn't matter if you get there halfway through the program. The satellite feed is so helpful. We've been sitting here doing this and going back and forth to sites. You can look at the plus sign and go in and look at the detail, or you can look at the minus sign and come out to looking to a broader issue. I was talking to Tom Scott, who is the railroad engineer in charge of rerailing between White Heath and Seymour. So therein lies a statement in itself. He was concerned about a line that was less than 23 feet off the ground where we would like to bring a railroad piece of equipment by. That's the regulation height to leave railroad enough room to work. That particular site is not on a project that we were working with. So I wrote a detail to a concernee, Kim Campbell, who knew that Ameren would be in the area and perhaps could lift this line. It may be a task that would happen with an extension of the present project that we're in. So I started to write about this, and I managed to lose the communication because my computer language is not quite enough to have removed enough material to store the statement that I'd spent a couple of hours explaining. This area concern is rather complex, and I'd like to take you to that area just so that you could experiment with satellite feed and get a picture of the area. If you're at Seymour, you're at the end of 7 miles of abandoned railroad bed from Champaign to Seymour. It goes through Bonneville. We would like to acquire that 7 miles as a historic railroad line. That means we have to communicate with the Federal Surface Transportation Board, which controls railroad activities, Canadian National, and frankly, with ourselves, to know that the Champaign, Havana, and Western historic railroads, so formed about 5 years ago, will be able to participate in this debate. Part of the credential is to actually have rerailed portion of the corridor that we're talking about. So now we need a picture of where this corridor sits. Go to West Champaign. So if you're on your satellite feed, go to West Champaign, and there's an area near Prairie Gardens that is where the current Canadian National Railroad extends to. It has a little spur line on our corridor and a sidetrack into a plastic company and a gravel company nearby. So they're retaining some of this corridor. If you're on your satellite, waddle around and see that track, go to Prairie Gardens, and you'll see the track that goes down to the plastic company. If you want to leave some vehicles there, there's a short piece of the line between Staley and Bonneville that is retained up to 57. So you will see 57. If you're on Channel 6 and if you're on YouTube internationally, this may seem local, but it is also for you, because this is a replicate of what happens in many, many situations as railroads retire and short lines become obsolete, and the little siding that only generates 12 or 14 rail cars. It happens everywhere, and you can see it happening in the Champaign Monticello area. There is a derailment device just west of uh, 57, which goes over Route 10, which is paralleling the railroad line. You have to remember that railroads came first, or actually water came first. People came up the rivers and settled near the rivers. The railroads came next, then the roads came, and then when electricity was available, interurbans became available. So long as you're operating in the Prairie Gardens area, in that little railroad spur on Route 10, which is an extension of Springfield Avenue, you will know that there's the old interurban used to go up to the Park District. It was put on the main line because it was kind of noisy, and it was felt to be more important to put the interurban onto the main line that frankly was not that well used, that it could deny the extra traffic of the interurban. That interurban, after many years of debate at different levels, has been bought as a rail trail. Some of the property has been bought by other companies, and the rail trail has to go around that. And you can see that if you go to Duncan Road and oscillate around and go up to the Park District, you can get an idea of where we might be able to bring historic trains into Champaign. There is a hope that we could get an occasional historic train down to Champaign, and there's the thought of parking it where a big four depot and yards, freight yards, were established. That's where the Monticello Railroad Museum found its initiation, was one or two cars parked between Randolph and State Street. So take your satellite feed and move it gently past Kraft Humpco and into Champaign, where there's a venue. We look at that venue as a possibility, not only for an occasional historic train, but for venue for bicycles and other groups together. So hover over that spot and realize that Champaign is gentrifying. That means it's putting in new buildings, and that it's very helpful to have some alternative opportunities, whether that be an open park or a theater, or as is being discussed, the potential for a ice hockey team to occupy land south of University Avenue and near to the MTD building on the west side of the Canadian mainline. And so once again, hover around downtown Champaign and figure where the big four yards were. There was a little piece of Wabash line, and railroads keep buying out each other, and they have a history of their own. But that short line between Randolph and or Neal and the east side of the Canadian National could follow the railroad line if it was built. If you look carefully with your satellite feed, you can see that line. It's fairly narrow, and it's mown in some places, not mown in others. But that would be the opportunity to get across town to the Kickapoo Trail. So now you're going to go under the Canadian National Main Line, two or three lines, or space for two or three lines, and you go underneath. It's not a very tall underpass, but it's tall enough for somebody to ride a bicycle without having to lay down flat. There's some parkland nearby, and Norfolk Southern comes in from Bloomington and goes to yards in Urbana. And you have to dream about how you can get hikers and bikers across Champaign without their being killed. There's a possibility of running a trail adjacent to a railroad bed. There was room for two railroad lines there, and with care, the railroad could go behind Provena, the public hospital there, and across University and Lincoln to Banner. There's about mine and Buckley's chance that that crossing would ever happen. If you were in Europe, you might be able to do something different. So there's a need for some imagination as to how you would negotiate the Lincoln University site. So I hope that by now you've run along the Norfolk Southern corridor to University Avenue and Lincoln. So let's take a little time to see if you could take some streets to the south and to the or to the north, which would allow you to go around the very dangerous and very well-trafficked position of University Avenue and Lincoln. After that, we might be able to continue the trail adjacent to the rail to Race Street and then across Vine Street and to the Norfolk Southern Yards. So now we have you looking at the yards. There is a MTD bus depot there. It's the bus headquarters. It replaced what used to be a roundhouse for steam engines and rail cars that needed repair or needed to be turned around, engines especially. So hover there for a little while and imagine a turntable where the engine would be facing one direction, and then actually with manpower you and ball bearings and a setup that was smooth, you could push that round table around so that the engine faced in a different direction. It could also be backed into garages, so for repair. Also had a well where you could be underneath the engine and work from it on the bottom. And that has all been demolished and filled in, and the mass transit is headquarters there. There is another way around Champaign-Urbana to make that connection, but it's more a tourist line. It would mean that you could go from the Norfolk Southern Yards, which are adjacent to the Kickapoo Trail. So now, before we look at the alternate route, let's go to the yards and dream of a rail trail going around the north end of the Norfolk Southern Yards. This is purely speculation, but if we don't speculate then and show people the area, then it's very hard for people to be involved in thinking up the future of this area. And I have to say that as we get more mature and as we get fewer natural areas and facilities that are historic, then the current generation is beginning to realize that they will have much, much less than the great-great-grandparents did. And so we're often dependent on recreation, a rail trail, and historic railroading and things like that to support preservation on either side of the railroad bed or in little glitches like Shady Rest around. So as you are there, you can waddle around the north end or the west end of the Norfolk Southern Yard. And when yards close out, they usually keep 1 mile. So you take your satellite feed and move towards Main Street. There's about a mile there. Half of it was a mile that was reserved by Norfolk Southern to allow trains to back up there and then to take cars into various sidings. That mile distance was cut in two by Smith Road. Have a look at Smith Road and realize that that's probably going to be the end of the Norfolk Southern opportunity. Although if really pushed, they would be able to take that line back to Dobbins Drive. That means east to Dobbins Drive. So now at Dobbins Drive, you're looking at the piece between Main Street and and 150. And it's near to Aldi's, near to Walmart. And it is currently, the trail ends at that spot, but it is possible that the Forest Preserve, which owns the rail bed now on an interim use basis, could extend that corridor across Main Street to Dobbins Drive, and then with some negotiation with the railroad, that corridor could be extended to Smith's Road. So you now you're moving this satellite feed back and forth to see what we're talking about. And if we were interactive, you would be able to ask questions. But the junction between the two is about Dobbins Drive. There's about a mile of railroad bed there that's not being used by railroads or by the rail trail. And that would be much safer to getting hikers and bikers across Champaign. Now, as long as you're in that position, go a little further and you'll notice that between Main Street and the road goes south, I think it's 130, there's been a lot of development. That little 1 mile was alive with prairie. And so you have to imagine that I found it rather odd that trees would be planted on that area because it is still representative of prairie soils, and trees didn't grow on prairies. Now, if you want a little shade, that's okay. But basically, prairies did not have trees. Trees are very friendly in that they can be hugged, or they can provide wood, or they can provide shade, or a little shelter of some kind. And not from rain. Sometimes trees also get struck by lightning. So in a storm, you don't stand under a tree and hope you will be protected, because you may not be protected. So basically, the rail trail starts at Walmart. And you can look at the northwest corner of Walmart, where Walmart has provided a parking lot for people who want to arrive by car and take their bicycle to St. Joe. The rail trail goes to Danville. You can now make your satellite feed more general and see that it goes straight to from St. Joe to Ogden to Rumbler to Route 49 to Fithian to Oakwood and then into Danville. So before we leave that, you have to know that the rail trail currently stops at the Kickapoo State Park. There's a bridge that's a quarter of a mile long, 200 feet off the ground. And we plugged all the bridge ties. There's a 998 ties where the spikes were taken out, two spikes in each side of the rail, because that saves water getting in and rotting the ties. That corridor has been engineered and completed, and it's getting accolades from a lot of people. That bed stops there, and access to the Kickapoo State Park has been made available on all roads that are closed. Now, we look a little further, and the yards at Danville kept, when they closed out, they kept a mile across 74 to the Kickapoo State Park area. It's called the Possum Trot area. I know it more as Bucktown, because the nearby small town is Bucktown. We would hope that the trail could go into Danville in the long run if that railroad line retires and leaves us a corridor into Danville. That hasn't happened yet, but put your satellite feed there and look at the potential. Some of the old interurban, which we might use, is used as a road. There are bridges that are decrepit but could be used by bicycles. Might need an upgrade. But now, okay, so that's a quick look at the corridor through to Danville. Back to Champaign-Urbana, because there's a big glitch between the kick of your trail and Champaign. You can very easily get killed on a bicycle taking that connection. One of the alternatives we are suggesting is to go from the MTD building, so back to the MTD building and go north over University Avenue at a position where the traffic is not so dramatic as at Lincoln and University. You could go over with a long bridge, or you could go across at grade level, but dangerous, or you could go underneath. The underneath alternative isn't good because the land is so wet that in a rain, underpasses like that are awkward. Okay, now we go over University Avenue at the MTD building. I should wait a little while you find yourself, and then go north across the Boneyard. And at that point, Urbana Park District owns a smidgen of land on the south side of the Boneyard and also on the north side. And they have a physical plant and a Shimoga Park there. And they're on Kurt Township. So they're in a position to put a bridge across the drainage ditch to Kerr. And Kerr can go west across 45 Cunningham Avenue. So hover yourself there for a while, because getting across 45 is not easy. We have to teach people that bicycles count. And in Europe, in some places especially, you would put a light there which allowed bicycles to go across first, then vehicles afterwards. There are alternatives. So then you go to Broadway, and then you turn north on Broadway, past the Crystal Lake Park, and a new swimming pool, and an Anita Purvis Center, all of which are rather popular. There has been some debate by people like Jack White and others who know about natural areas that some of these activities are very close to Busey Woods, and Busey Woods has been, by default, a rookery for many birds and animals. Sometimes you can encounter half a dozen deer that actually feel like they own Busey Woods, and that you are invasive. So now you're taking your friendly satellite feed and moving around Busey Woods, and you're going, there's a cemetery there, and there's a golf course, and both of those provide adjunct space for the creatures that live in Busey Woods. There's a county county where they run the county fair, and on the south side. So you have lots of adjunct space around. It's not the world's greatest, but that's what we have, and we should make use of it. So you go around Busey Woods. There's several different jurisdictions in charge, county or township or Urbana City or even Park District. So you now are reaching Lincoln Avenue. So once again, you have to be prepared to have lights that allow bicycles to cross at a dangerous point. You go down Bradley Avenue, and you can go straight through on Bradley Avenue, but it's probably safer and simpler to go south till you meet up with the Norfolk Southern Railroad line and parallel it into the underpass at Washington Avenue. Now, that little last move took you time to move the satellite and follow. And you may have lots of questions as to where we mean. And this is where interactive work gets to be very friendly. So we're thinking to get a link to this program so that you will be able to follow what we're talking about. It is possible that we could do a capture, a picture capture. So at each of the satellite pictures that we have where you're moving around, we can compromise by having a picture. And that's very good. We can augment the picture with a ground map, but that requires a little bit of coordination. You have to make your sound program, you have to photograph it, and you have to replace the photographs of my image that you're looking at now, perhaps to a satellite feed, or captured pictures and small maps that make a suggestion. And now I have to remind you that this is all tentative. This is where you discuss the possibilities of getting across town. You have to know that the people who are using the rail trails are often relatively affluent. The people whose territory that you're going through are North End people, mostly black, and they do not have the same accoutrements or attitudes to use a rail trail. They tend to more do a wheelie with their bicycle, and it's a different sort of culture. So you have to be cognizant of the area that you're moving through toward Washington Street and an underpass under Canadian National. We might think of revising that area. So you go back and say, yeah, what the hell? You're going to look at Vine Street and say, there's a road bridge, there's a railroad bridge, but there's no room for a bicycle track. You might have to put in a bicycle bridge so that a rail trail adjacent to the railroad line could be used. If you go back to the big four yards that are vacant and in the lawn at the moment, you have to know that those yards are probably worth an arm and a leg. And how could you discuss this with Canadian National? Well, not easy because the city is trying to discuss Amtrak trains being put onto a siding to let expensive freight trains go past. So there's a delay in you getting to and from Chicago. So this is not a priority for discussion with Canadian National or with Norfolk Southern. And we're not always sure who owns what. So you have to go to the county board and look for the details to find out who owns what. Well, if you're on satellite feed and you have some capacity, you can also ask for the tax records and you can see who owns what. And we do this because if you're going to do improvements in these areas, the wee folk, little folk have to be involved. The people who are the twos and threes and fours and fives don't always think the same way. So you have to look at this corridor and see how you would bring a bicycle through Champaign and do it in a safe manner. You also have to think about some other broad issues. Hover around the big four yards some. A historic train could take a trip to Mahomet and Mansfield if you wanted. Might be only once a year. You might have to pay a pilot to run it on active line. There are all sorts of regulations about this, but there's a possibility. And if you turn around and look back to Urbana, it's not impossible for a historic train to go as far as Urbana and then meet up with the Kickapoo Trail. So that connection between the Kickapoo Trail and the west side of Champaign is of concern to us, and we beg you to be involved. Now, if you want to take a bicycle at the moment to Alton Park or to Whiteheath and Monticello and then to Alton Park, we suggest you go on Kirby Avenue, which is like a section road south of Route 10. Route 10 is relatively narrow and it has a lot of salvage trucks going to a landfill at Clinton. And so it's heavily used and it's very risky to have a bicycle and a semi-trailer going through your 3 inches away from your bicycle. So Kirby Avenue is a good alternative. Now take your satellite feed to the west side of Champaign and to Kirby Avenue and follow that corridor toward Whiteheath. It's a long street and it has a little jog in the middle of it. It's through farmland, but it's also narrow. And it's also not listed as a shared road where people are aware that they're also traveling with bicycles and sometimes hikers. So now you're looking at an area which is kind of confusing. When you get to the end of Kirby Avenue, Kirby Avenue stops because there has been, over the years, various developments. First of all, the railroad corridor followed by a road went straight, but it didn't go straight. It actually turned south and went through Whiteheath and then later came back to parallel Route 10. So there's a sliver of land in there that is part a concrete highway that was closed, and a main line, which we hope will be a historic railroad, and an interurban, which carries a local electrical connection. All those three can be encountered where Kirby Avenue comes in. But when you get to go off Route 10 south along the old dead concrete road, you can go about halfway because there's a cell phone tower in there, and that has to be serviced. So that's a little bit open. But if you go to go any further, you could go straight through to White Heath, but it's closed off and it's overgrown. So that you can't use it unless you're an off-road vehicle person. So you turn around and come back onto Route 10. So then you have to go back toward Champaign. And if you're clever, you can be moving your satellite feed and see what we're doing. We go to the next section road and we go south a mile, and then we're back on Kirby. And when you get to Kirby, that's where the interurban, the main line, and the road are all go under a railroad line, power line, that Kim Campbell has been asking about. But frankly, it's better for you to paddle around with your satellite feed and see how this area has been confused by the building of Interstate 72, the closing of portion of Route 10, which became probably Route 47, taking a highway to Monticello and Decatur. And it's easier to look at it from a distance and play with it some and get an idea. It's much harder for you to stand in one spot and visualize what you're going to look at. And you have to also backtrack to Route 10 and drive about a mile to the county line to find a symbol, which is a electrical substation. And then you go south to Kirby and then to the end of Kirby. And just that little complex can be handled by still photographs and maps. But the satellite feed, especially if you have someone sitting with you that can pull it back and forth, can give you answers to that complex situation. Actually, the concrete road is a very fine road for some reasons. You can take a busload of people down there and they can get off and look at the prairie and turn around and come back out. So the natural area that is there between Route 10 and Kirby Avenue is kind of interesting and has a potential for us. It may have been bought, we don't know. That's when you go to the county seat and find out. You may even be able to get the information from asking for a tax base. If you have a friend and relative that can do this sort of work, that sort of person can help you understand that area. Then when you're at Kirby Avenue, it takes a sudden turn to the left and you're on the old Route 10 or 47. And you can drive into White Heath. And our railroad bed starts about half a mile to the north of white heat. The Albed Heartland Pathways is contiguous with the Railroad Museum. So now the next thing I want you to look at is the complex that is around White Heath. There's the old road that goes through and becomes a road to Monticello, if you want. It used to be a highway. But there is also the Railroad Museum. The Railroad Museum has bought 7 miles of land that was replete with rails and ties, and it's what they use for tourism or riding the rails. The Railroad Museum is a rather national level group. Had some opposition when it moved from North Neal Street near the post office in Champaign to Monticello. They bought the interurban to go up the banks of the Cerro Gordo Moraine. So you could huff and puff a train a mile and a half up to the top of the hill and then back. And they also had a switch so that you could take the engine and put it on the front. It would still be going backwards, but that's more acceptable to people who ride trains than to have the engine push you back to the Nelson's Crossing, which is the headquarters of the Monticello Railroad Museum. You have to look carefully at White Heath. There's a Y. It's a triangle where you can take a train, say a passenger train, and go down one side of a triangle, then across, and then up, and you still have the engine in the front, which is more acceptable to people who ride railroads. It's also safer because you have a different expression of the pushing junction of cars. And just to confuse it a little more, that Y also allows trains to go in several directions. One leg goes to Champaign, one leg goes to Monticello, and one leg goes to Clinton, 23 miles away, where 5 miles of this trackage joins Clinton Power Plant Lake with Weldon Springs State Park. So perhaps it wouldn't hurt for you to look at the general view for a moment, and then come back to the Railroad Museum and see how it relates to the city of Monticello. And then we have 6 miles of Heartland Pathways territory between Monticello and Cisco. So there again, you're looking at the general, but when you come down to it, you need to look at the particular, and you need to know that there's a connection between the Railroad Museum and the Norfolk Southern line that goes to the Wabash line, which allows grain to go out on that connection. It also allows historic trains to go out from the Monticello Railroad Museum to places like Decatur. So when you're exercising your imagination, think what you could do in this setting. You have a popular city, which is historic, which has a Sangamon River. The city has placed a rail trail on Heartland Pathways, a railroad bed that goes over the Sangamon. So you can get a look at the Sangamon. It goes around toward Cisco. It could go another 4 miles. We want to know how we could do it. Should you have a wild trail, which is narrow and one way? Do you have a wide trail, which takes out all the prairie that we are trying to preserve. And I think we will probably come back to this area again so that you know that the corridor between Champaign and Monticello and Decatur is fairly available. The Interstate 72 replaced Route 47, and so it's a fairly wide road that was a highway. It can also be a speed place, but if you have understanding, that could be a shared road all the way into Decatur. And so I'm pleased that we're having a quite friendly discussion with Ameren on one small portion of this. That's how you start the thoughts going. You do small projects and gradually let people be involved or encourage people to be involved and hope that their leadership will actually look at the multi-million dollar process where you combine interests that are bigger than themselves. So if you want to take a train down to Shady Rest and hold a Chautauqua and once a year, but also allow people to ride down to a niche that's interesting, but it's also a very rich ecological area with bottomlands on the banks of the Sangamon, with uplands on the Cerro Gordo Moraine, and with wonderful understory herbs, especially in the wintertime, but also through the summer. And the 30-acre site there that it came into action because of the retirement of the railroad and the help of the Price family, which really wanted to preserve the railroad bridge there. So that's another area that we need to look at, and we have to have you realize that the railroads and recreation actually have helped us to preserve little pieces of habitat here and there, like 30 acres at Shady Rest. We're getting to the near the end of the program. We thank WEFT and Urbana Public Television for recording this sort of discussion. And we hope you will continue it, not necessarily in this particular venue, but with others, and talk to the city and let it be something more than three people going to Springfield and deciding to do this. It requires city planning, which is very good, but you have to have your input. You have to be bold enough to be able to go to the city and say something. So saying it on WEFT and saying it on Urbana Public Television and Channel 6 and on YouTube is very helpful. Our discussions may be crude, but you have to start somewhere. And our computerization may be a little crude too. But thank you for all of you who get involved in this sort of thing and preserving a little bit of your heritage habitat, whether it be forest or prairie. This is Dave Monk, Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial. And you have to know that this discussion is what I'm thinking, not necessarily supported by WEFT, but WEFT is providing us the opportunity to speak to this situation.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM and on the web at weft.org.
Programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Common Ground Food Co-op. Food that nourishes you and gives back to your community may be found at Common Ground Food Co-op, located in Lincoln Square Mall. Your dollar stays local when you shop co-op. They've been cultivating community and local food since 1974.
Research shows that mentors play a powerful role in providing young people with the tools to strive and thrive, to attend and engage in school, and to reduce risky behavior. Make a difference in your community by becoming a CU one-to-one mentor. Visit www.cu1.com. T-O-1.org or call the Champaign